From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The South Carolina Senate has abandoned a last-minute effort to redraw the state's congressional map before this year's midterm elections. Senators voted Tuesday afternoon to reject the proposal backed by President Trump that would have eliminated the state's only majority black congressional district represented by Congressman James Clyburn. Several Republicans joined Democrats in opposing the plan, arguing it was too late to make changes with early voting already underway. The Charlotte City Council Tuesday night approved a timeline to pick a mayor to replace Vi Lyles, who is resigning June 30th. Steve Harrison has this report.
City council members agreed to consider both people who were serving on the council and outside candidates. The schedule calls for a week-long application window to open Tuesday. The city council would hold public interviews on June 18th and make their pick on June 22nd. Council members agreed they want applicants to say whether or not they plan to run for mayor in 2027, though the city attorney said that would be non-binding. The person picked for mayor could change their mind and still run for office. Mayor Pro Tem James Mitchell sent council members an email over the weekend saying he wants the job. Whoever is picked will serve for 17 months. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Charlotte City Council is considering a 150-day moratorium on new data center development. Zachary Turner has more from Tuesday's often raucous public hearing.
No data centers! No data centers!
A now familiar scene played out Tuesday night in Uptown. Around 50 anti-data center protesters gathered outside the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Government Center. Inside, 36 speakers brought their concerns about data center-fueled water use, electricity bills, and climate change before the Charlotte City Council in a packed main chamber. Most, including cybersecurity expert Ethan White, supported the moratorium.
The 150-day moratorium is not a rejection of this technology. It's the city doing its job.
But land use attorney Colin Brown struggled to make his comments against a moratorium heard over the crowd.
I do think the data centers are becoming critical infrastructure for communities. I think so. I think they are just like becoming like utilities and roads.
City Council could vote on a moratorium as early as June 8th. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education took a step Tuesday night toward a long-planned educator community. Roughly 100 units of affordable housing for CMS educators. But there's still a long road ahead to building the long-planned project. James Farrell has more.
CMS has been discussing this project since at least 2024. The concept has at times garnered pushback from teachers, who call it a band-aid solution to low pay. Board member Shamaye Haynes said this was the board's way of addressing Charlotte's affordable housing crisis and wouldn't detract from advocating for better pay.
I just want people to understand that this is a both-and kind of a situation.
The board unanimously approved an agreement with nonprofit developer Innovative Housing Solutions Foundation, giving the option to lease a 7-acre parcel of land adjacent to Garinger High School. But IHSF still needs to secure funding. They have a year. The city of Charlotte has provided $1 million in pre-construction funds. Board Chair Stephanie Sneed described the project as a pilot program. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The city of Charlotte set aside $100,000 last November to help households financially impacted by Border Patrol's crackdown. 6 months later, the city says none of that money was used. Julian Berger has more.
The city created the emergency fund to help families pay for rent and utilities as many local businesses closed and people stayed home out of fear. Crisis Assistance Ministry was tasked with handling applications and distributing funds to households. But the city told WFAE this week that only 3 households were approved during the 12 weeks the program was open. None received city money, and Crisis Assistance Ministry provided its own funds to these households. Carol Hardison with Crisis Assistance Ministry says the city's eligibility rules made the funding useless.
The city dollars had a requirement that made their dollars unusable for this situation. The city required a person to be documented. Nobody who was documented sought these dollars.
The city says the unused $100,000 was redirected to other housing assistance programs. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Airport workers and a local union are asking the city of Charlotte to hold a public review and push for higher pay before approving a new long-term lease agreement at the airport. Kenneth Lee has more.
Members of Service Employees International Union Charlotte chapter held a press conference Monday ahead of Charlotte City Council's public hearing in Uptown. Airport workers are asking the council to give a 45-day public review period before signing the next lease. Airport workers have called on local leaders to increase wages, as some at the airport earn as little as $12.50 an hour. Workers have said this results in a poor work environment and high turnover at subcontractors who do vital work like clean planes between flights. Eric Fink, an associate professor of law at Elon University, said since the agreement is a lease, the city council can take action during the negotiations of the contract.
When a city rents municipal property, including an airport, it acts essentially like any ordinary property owner and can negotiate a lease on mutually beneficial terms with the tenants.
Last week, airport officials in the city made an agreement to continue lease negotiations of the next lease for at least 1 year. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
A new program in Charlotte is helping community members recover during Stroke Awareness Month. Elvis Meneyese reports.
So go ahead and flex your foot as far back as you can. You're going to lift that leg.
The Stroke Survivor class consists of improving residents' blood pressure, mobility, and flexibility. Darcy Pernot is with Back to Independence Rehab, the group behind the class.
Everyone needs to exercise, not only to decrease any future stroke risks, but also to better ourselves, to be healthier, to sleep better, to maintain good weight management.
The class started this year initially as a free 6 week pilot program. About 20 people registered to receive support. 66-year-old Mitch Muller is a stroke survivor.
When I first got out of the hospital, I couldn't walk. I mean, my whole left side was paralyzed. So I've come a long ways. Yeah, so again, it's very encouraging, very motivating to come here.
Back to Independence Rehab hopes to partner with donors and community groups to help more survivors access the class. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
Concord police have identified a suspect in a nearly 18-year-old murder case. 43-year-old Johnny Stephen Talbert of Port Angeles, Washington, has been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of robbery with a firearm. He's currently being held without bail in Washington state while awaiting extradition. Talbert was arrested and charged in connection with the 2008 double homicide and robbery that occurred at the Sundrop Bottling Company in Concord. 59-year-old Donna Barnhart and 44-year-old Daryl Knowles were pronounced dead at the scene. Barnhart was the longtime office manager for the Sundrop Bottling Company. Knowles was there to apply for a job. Detectives believe Talbert shot and killed the victims and stole money from the front office before fleeing the scene. The number of homes sold in the Charlotte region fell again last month, dropping almost 3% compared to April of 2025. That's according to the latest data from Canopy, the Charlotte Area Realtor Association. Mortgage rates over 6%, rising costs, and inflation are behind the drop. But the average sale price for a home in Charlotte still rose to just over $522,000. And for Wednesday, May 27th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.